There we are. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible, the book of Revelation, if you would. Amen. Revelation 19, if you will. We're going there today. And I didn't go to my car, but I did go to my car. Went in my car this morning, and the Lord confirmed this is where He wants us to go today. Amen. Well, I was thinking about some of you good men of God that carrying such heavy burdens on your heart. And I was thinking about the people we know that we've trained right. Some of us got children that we trained right. And, you know, and we had them in the house of God, right? And they, for whatever reason, they decided when they got to where they could exercise their own will, they chose a different route, or at least a compromising route. Somebody said, Brother Wells, you know that if you, that if you do right, they ain't supposed to go astray. Well, my name's not Samuel. I didn't get my name in the Bible. Samuel got his name in the Bible. The Bible said David is a man after God's own heart, didn't it? Yes, sir. Amen. Got his name in the Bible. My name's not in the Bible, but I've had children go astray like some of y'all others have. And you're wondering what it is that's going to bring them in. Well, I'm going to give you a word on my heart anyway. That's not the message. But I'm telling you, I think there's a collapse coming faster than you can get a hold of. That's what I think. I think there's a collapse fixing to come in this country. Now, whether you say, well, that'll come after the rapture. How do you know it will? How do you know the collapse in this country is going to come after the rapture? Amen. I tell you one thing. The Bible said unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And I promise you this, buddy, they ain't many of God's people really down deep in their heart looking for him. All you got to do is look in your mirror and be honest with your own self. And you might have to say, well, really and truly, I'm looking for him to come. But you're not living like you're looking for him to come. Amen. Something's got to happen to get us looking for him. I mean, something's got to happen along the way to get us, brother, to where we're going to look. And I'm telling you, I don't know anything to help you look for him until you're hungry and ain't no food stamps available. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, buddy, when things get tough out there, folks that have been taught about him will learn he's still available and they'll learn to call on him. Say, Brother Wells, that'll not happen. Well, we'll find out, won't we? Amen. Now, I do want to give you one more verse of scripture before I read Revelation chapter number 19. I want you to look in Revelation 12. I've been sharing this where I go, and I think God's people need to hear it. Revelation 12, and somebody said, well, Brother Wells, you know, the devil's really giving me a hard time. I understand that. But there is a way to have victory. What do y'all think? There's a real way to have victory. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to come easy. Look in Revelation 12, if you would. The same principle they had in Revelation 12 is applicable this day for victory over the enemy. Look at verse number 11. Look at it now. And they overcame him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. So does the blood of the Lamb still maintain its power? Huh? Yes, sir. The blood of Christ still maintains its power, right? So if I could stop there and just claim the blood of Christ for total victory, that'd be easier on me. But look at the rest of it. The Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So if I'm living my life in a way in which I'm not protecting my testimony and I'm leaving flaws in my testimony, I'm giving it places of advantage for Satan to get a hold of me and to give me trouble. You better be practicing living your life and protecting that testimony. After all, when that testimony is gone, you don't have no influence. And Satan, you know as well as I do, some of us along the way have got glitches in our testimony, and Satan has used that to beat us to death. Amen. Then look at the rest part of that. And it says they love not their lives unto death. Now, what does that mean? It means, are you ready to die this minute? Does your life mean more to you now than his life does? Amen, buddy. See, when you get to the place where his life means more to you than your next heartbeat, you're pretty well on victory ground. Amen. Now, I really believe with all my heart that if I want to walk in victory in these last days, I'm going to have to somehow at least make a stab at meeting these qualifications in order to live in a state of victory. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what that's going to take. That's going to take looking me in the eye and looking me right dead in the heart to find out if I really mean it. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's stand, if you would. Hallelujah. Revelation 19. We're going to read there, and then we're going to preach through the book of Revelation. Amen. Amen. Thought y'all enjoy that. Hallelujah. Revelation 19, verse number 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and the smoke rose up, her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now put John verse 10 a second before I pray. John, after seeing and hearing what happened here, he fell down to worship before this whoever, right? And whoever it was said, Don't do that now. I'm one of your fellow servants of thy brethren. Now, John is the one that leaned on the bosom of the Lord, right? He's the one that walked with him. He's the one that stayed close to him. He's now in heaven, and would you look at this? That person in heaven is so much like Jesus that John is fallen down and ready to worship him. Shall we really be like him when we get there? Wow. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'll be like him when I get there. Amen. Praise God. Be seated. Let me pray with you. Lord, I'm grateful today for the Lord. Dear God, I'm grateful to be saved and to have Jesus living within. And I'm thankful, dear God, for this opportunity to be here and be with Brother Robert and his good people. And Lord, to receive the blessings from their hand. And I pray that, Lord, the great blessing of God would abide on Brother Jarvis and this good church and the members, Father, the 10 here. And I want to pray that, Lord, you bless these men of God and that, Lord, their families or churches where they minister and whatever, dear God, they're involved in, I pray your good hand would be with them and, Lord, you'd help them in what they're doing. Now, Lord, pull us near you. Dear God, let us sense your presence. Let us feel your breath. And, dear God, may in our bosom today, we just feel, dear God, the good hand of God moving and stirring, God, in our heart. Bring us closer to you in these hours we're living. And, Lord, we're going to honor you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. I want to preach today on this subject. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to change my title a little bit. But I'm going to preach on, I don't want to wait till then. I want you to stick that in the back of your mind. I don't want to wait till then. So let's bear that in mind. I won't say nothing about it for a while. But now I want you to bear in mind just briefly here. Let me give you a kind of scan of the book of Revelation. I'm sure I won't say anything that, you know, will be anything different than what you believe. But chapter 1 of Revelation, we find John on the Isle of Patmos because of persecution. And he's there, a neighbor in exile. But he has this revelation of Christ while he's there. And one great lesson you got from chapter number 1 is no matter what you're going through as a believer, no matter how bad it is, the Word of God hears a man's got in a bad state, and yet he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He's still involved in worship no matter how bad it gets. Now, but that's a great lesson for me, because no matter how bad it is, I can still, as a child of God, still worship the Son of the living God. Chapter number 2 and 3, we got those letters to the seven churches in Asia. And of course, they were literal churches in Asia with those short letters going to them. But my feeling is that each one of those churches represent a small segment of church history under our present hour. And then you come to chapter number 4. This great and wonderful chapter where John looks up and he sees a door open heaven, and he hears this great wonderful voice saying, come up hither. Now, I'm probably like you. I believe, neighbor, that chapter number 4 is probably the rapture of the church, what I believe. I believe here, neighbor, in this chapter, a door is opened up and the church is caught up to be with our God. I believe that. And then, of course, if you kind of challenge that, then help me find the church. A neighbor from chapter 4 all the way to chapter number 19 in there. Help me find that now. And so in chapter 4, we got the rapture. John is caught up. Chapter number 5, he saw what every one of us saved ones are going to see. He got, neighbor, when the door was open, he saw that great throne of God where God was sitting. And on the throne, he had a neighbor in his hand. He had this seven seal book. And he saw a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. I'm going to see that. How about y'all? I want to see that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. We move to chapter number 6 now. And neighbor, the seals are now being opened. Of course, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that's in there you'd have to skip. But now the seven seal book is there, and it's being opened. First seal, the white horse. You know what that is, I guess. I'm not going to take time. Then the red horse, war. Black horse, famine. Then the pale horse is death. And then the fifth seal. He sees the souls of them, neighbor, that's slain, that's on the altar. Then the sixth seal was that a great earthquake, and the blackness of the sun, and the bloody moon. And then when the seventh seal is open now, the seventh seal opens up into seven trumpets. So there's not actually a judgment as a seventh seal, but it opens up into seven trumpets, which ultimately end up being more judgment. Verse number, chapter number 7, you got that great chapter that Jehovah's Witnesses twisted, amen, the sealing of the 144,000, and then John saw that great number, neighbor, which no man can number. That's evidently the tribulation saints that are probably saved as a result of that 144,000 Jewish evangelists. I guess that's what it is anyway. Then we come to chapter number 8. Oh my. And you get to chapter number 8 now. Now the trumpets are going to blow it. This, neighbor, these are, neighbor, that's trumpet judgments. And it has, first one is hail mingled with blood. Then you got that great mountain that falls in the sea. And a third part of the ocean become blood. Then you got the third in their trumpet. That great star of wormwood falls down, creates bitter waters. Then the fourth trumpet, you got a third part of the sun, third part of the moon, third part of the stars were darkened. Then you got to move chapter 9 in order for those last two trumpets, neighbor, to be revealed. But when you get chapter number 10 now, you got that mighty angel in chapter number 11. That's my two favorite men, amen, Moses and Elijah, those great witnesses. And by the way, don't some of us wish we had that kind of power, amen, that when somebody spoke against us, fire would come out of my mouth, and that'd be the end of them. Wouldn't that settle a lot of church problems quick? Amen. If you had that, even that kind of power. Well, I guess God knows if I'd have had it, I'd abused it. Amen. And I probably ended up maybe with a whole lot less than what I ended up with. So John here sees these two witnesses. Then you come to chapter number 12. Now this is Wonder Woman. I call her anyway. It's that woman that's about ready to be delivered. And of course, I know that's Israel. And the child she's about to deliver is Messiah. And he's called up to heaven. And then you know the story there. Then chapter number 13, you got that ungodly, unholy Trinity. Maybe that'll be revealed. And then we skip to chapter 16. And when you get there now, the seventh trumpet, when it's blown, it's not exactly judgment, but it opens up into seven vile judgments. So you got the seals, then you got the trumpets, then at the seventh trumpet, it opens up into seven vile judgments. And its first thing is noisome, grievous sore, and as the sea becomes blood, as a dead man, the rivers and fountains become blood, the sun, neighbor, become hot and stoops down somehow and scorches men. There's darkness in the kingdom of the beast. There's the Euphrates River is dried up, which makes a way for the kings of the east to come down. Now that great battle of Armageddon. Then you got the great earthquake and so on. And then God says, it's done. Now that's sweet words. Amen. I'm waiting to hear that it is done. Aren't y'all? I said that'll be a glad day when God says it's done and it's over. Hallelujah. Now, when you come to chapter 17, and these are the chapters that really is laying the groundwork for chapter number 19. In chapter number 17, you got the judgment of the great whore. Now, the great whore is that religious system that is already in formation. Y'all believe that, don't you? The religious system already is in formation now. And so, chapter number 17 is God judging that great whore when the beast system that she's riding hates her and devours her. Chapter number 18, you got the judgment of the great Babylon, which I personally think is commercial Babylon. I think, neighbor, it's the commercial end of it that God's going to bring to an end. Now then, with that said in mind, chapter number 19 comes into view. Notice how it reads, verse number 1. It says, and after these things, and I guess that's probably after what we've already noted. So after these things, neighbor, there's a great voice heard in heaven, and they're saying, hallelujah. Now then, notice now, there are four of those hallelujahs, right? Amen. There are four of them. Now then, what does the word hallelujah mean? Well, the word hallelujah, as it's used here, it means praise Jah. Now, somebody said, Brother Wells, you don't need to use those kind of words. Well, that's what it means. And Jah is short for Jehovah, or Jehovah. That's what it is. And I believe that word is used some 49 times in the Old Testament. And God allowed one time to be used in which it was not translated. And you get to Psalm 68, verse number 4, the word Jah, God allowed it to be put in there and not to be translated, even if something we'd understand. So God allows that word to be put in there. So what's it mean? It means to praise Jah, which means to make a real show. Amen. It means to make a boast. It means to celebrate. It means to commend. Now, our English word, hallelujah, carries the same meaning. It means to make a big show. Now, we're not talking about pumping and priming. We're not talking about doing something in the flesh. But, neighbor, the idea is here, make a big show about somebody. In other words, praise Jah, praise the name, celebrate him, make a big show about it. So now then, that word Jah is used several times in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to chase the references, but it's used to magnify his durability. This Jehovah, it magnifies his durability. It magnifies his dependability. It magnifies his distinction. And I will put this in here. It magnifies his desire. Listen to this passage. In Psalm 68:18, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also. Here it is now, that the Lord, that's the word Jah, that the jaw of the Lord God might dwell among men. So here's the idea. The idea of jaw here is it's magnifying God's desire to dwell among men. Does God still have that desire? Yes, sir. That's why he came down the garden, even the cool of the day, to walk with Adam and Eve. It's because he had this desire even to walk with them and dwell with them. Can I say I'm still glad God has not lost that desire. He still wants to dwell among them. Amen. So, we move along with that now. Now, notice this is the outline, and I'll be done. Well, not really. So, don't anticipate too much here. Now, look verse number 1. You got number 1. You got the hallelujah of salvation. They said hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. Look verse number 2 now. In verse number 2, it's a hallelujah of termination. That is, they are plumb excited about this great whore being eliminated. Amen. So they're just tickled to death that neighbor she's eliminated. So we call that the hallelujah of termination. Verse number 4, oh my, look at that one now. The Bible said, and the 4 and the 20 elders fell down, and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. So now then, you got these that are worshiping God. So this is a hallelujah of adoration. They're adoring him. So you get to verse number 6 now. Watch it now. Verse number 6, they said, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I call that the hallelujah of culmination. It is over. Amen. So go back to verse number 1. Y'all with me now? Stay with me a minute now. Let me and help me. Don't leave me out here by myself. If you do, you know, we'll all have a hard time. But look at verse number 1 now. Number 1, let's note here the hallelujah of salvation. So the Bible said here, they said hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So I want you to note, first of all here, there is a mark in history here, or there a time element in which this is taking place. First 4 words. Watch it now. The Bible said, and after these things. Yeah, probably generally, this is after all the previous chapters, but specifically, it's probably after chapter 17, 18. But can I say this? Practically, if I'm going to ever say hallelujah, it's got to be after something's happened in my life. I've got to have after these things happened to me before I ever praise him. It was after I repented of my sin. It was after I trusted Christ. It was after I become a new beginning. It was after God had even translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Have you ever had one of these after things? Amen. Have you ever had one of these after these things? Has God ever converted you by the power of God? Well, if he has, you've had one of these after things, and you ought to be saying something about it. Amen. Praise God. Now look, if you would now, notice the crowd that's involved here. Look at verse number 1. Notice how neighbor the multitude that's doing this. The Bible said, there is, I heard this great voice of much people in heaven, and they're saying, hallelujah. Amen. So this has got to be a pretty big crowd, right? Right. And so notice now, notice how reverent they are. Notice now, they're in a reverent state of worship. Y'all know that now. Brother Wells, I love this quiet time in which, you know, we're just adoring God quietly. You ain't going to fit in. You ain't going to fit in. I mean, if that's your mode of worship, your mode of praise, you ain't going to fit in. That's you. I try to find out why I wasn't fitting in. Amen. Notice now what it said. Here it is. And the Bible said they're saying with a loud voice. And notice now it's in heaven around the throne. Now I want to make a point here. Now note, are y'all with me now? You sure you are? So y'all agreed with me while ago. I could tell the way you responded that you believe that chapter 4 was the rapture, right? So if chapter 4 is a rapture, then did we not agree a while ago that the church, it doesn't come into view anymore in Revelation until you get neighbor to actually chapter number 19:20, is that right? Right? So where are you? Come on now. So where are you? I mean, when Revelation 19 occurs, where are you? Are you still down there trying to straighten the world out? Huh? Where you going to be? I mean, where will you be when chapter 19 occurs? Neighbor, if the Bible's right, it is. Then if chapter 4 is a rapture, then I'm going to be here in chapter 19. Well, but y'all, listen, when they're saying hallelujah, I'm not going to be out on another planet somewhere. Whoop! Amen. I'm going to be right there, and I'll be saying hallelujah with them. Amen. Right? So watch this now. Notice now what they said. Oh, come on now. You got to help me watch this now. So notice now what's motivating them to say hallelujah in verse number 1. But John, verse number 1 again. Notice they said, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Question for you now. Got a question. So does God need salvation? Come on now. Does God need it? So does God need your glory? Does God need your honor? Y'all still wondering about that, ain't you? Well, God don't need salvation. He's the creator of it. Is that right? So he don't need my salvation. He don't need salvation. He don't need glory. He don't need power. And he called all of it belongs to him anyway, don't it? Did he not say all power is given to me in heaven and earth? So he don't need power. He's already got all there is to have. Amen. So now what's it mean? When they're saying hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power of the Lord our God. What are they saying? Here is what I think they're saying. They're acknowledging that this salvation and this glory and this honor and this power belongs to Him. They are excited about what belongs to God. The salvation I've got is not mine. Oh, no. The salvation I've got is His salvation. Praise His name. So, neighbor, they're acknowledging here that this belongs to God. Salvation belongs to Him. Glory belongs to Him. It don't belong to me. I don't deserve no glory. I don't deserve no honor. Amen. Matter of fact, I ain't got no power either. So, what they're saying here, they're saying, hallelujah, for all this belongs to you. Oh, now, so they're just so excited about what belongs to God. You got excited lately about what belongs to God? Come on now. Now let me share something else with you. So they're excited about what belongs to Him. But I believe another thing is they're excited about the benefaction to the Lord. What's that mean? Well, if I'm a benefactor, I take what I've got and I share it with you. Amen. A benefactor is one who shares what he's got with somebody else. Is that right? And the gift is called a benefaction. So look here. They're saying hallelujah. They're saying salvation. They're saying glory. They're saying honor. They're saying power belongs to Him. But on the other hand, that hallelujah must include the praise that He shared it with them. Praise God. What He had, He shared with them. Am I not an heir and a joint heir with Christ? What God has shared with me. He has shared His salvation with me. Oh, praise God. He said, look here, I never had no glory, but when I got saved by God's grace, God kicked a little bit over in my heart. How about you? Amen. I've got some honor today that ain't nothing I've earned. It's a benefaction from Him. Amen. I've got, by the way, y'all may not, well, y'all tell you this. Do you know you got power? Come here now. Brother Wills, I'm praying for more power. Why, you already got some. The Bible said unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all they were asked for things. Is that right? Even the rest of it, don't you? According to the power that's already in there. Amen. Let God save me. He gave me the power to live for Him. So God shared His salvation, His glory, and honor, and His power with me. Amen. Now, when they recognize what God shared with them, you know what they did? They're like a volcano that's been building up. It's been spitting out of that fire, and it's been building up pressure on the inside. And there's this crowd in heaven, this great multitude, like a volcano, they erupt in the hallelujah, amen. Praise God. Can I say, I ain't going to wait on them. God, I'm not going to wait till Revelation 19 to do my hallelujahs. How about y'all? Amen. I don't think I'm on the way. Matter of fact, I think my volcano has been building up. Haven't y'all? I think the pressure has been mounting up a little bit. I feel like a hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, neighbor, they got excited about what God did. So notice verse number 2 now. There's a hallelujah of termination. Brother Wells, that don't sound good. Well, must be good. They shouted about it. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So look at verse number 2 again. So the Bible said, the true and righteous are thy judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. Now watch this now. They're excited about God judging the great whore. Is that right? And you can't deny that. I mean, it's clear. They are shouting, hallelujah, God judged the great whore. Amen? So now then, notice you would, I'd put it down like this, how God gave it to me anyway. They, neighbor them, they're motivated here by the standard of God's judgment. Look what it said in verse 2. For true and righteous are thy judgments. Amen. Oh, I tell you, the Bible said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Is that right? Is that right? So if God is the Lord, ain't changing not, then that must mean that all of God's judgments, whether it's on me or whether it's on you or on the great whore, is still by truth and righteousness. Amen. Oh, you can bank on this, buddy. When God deals with you and when God deals with me, when God deals with the church, he always deals out of truth and righteousness. Amen. Ain't God good? Amen. Praise His name. Notice something else now. They're motivated by the subject of this judgment. And that is, they judge a great whore. So, they're excited about that. Notice her sins. Even she has corrupted the whole earth. Amen. And she's slain multitudes of the servant of God. Amen. And so now, in neighbor verse number 3, they're saying, that the Bible's saying, her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now then, here's what I want to say. What you've got here is a religious system that God is wiping out. Somebody said, Brother Wells, you sound gruesome about some of that. Oh no, I want to say something right here. Listen to me a minute. What if, Brother Jarvis, how many kids you got? Got 2 children. So what if, Brother Jarvis's children were seduced by a cult? What if they were seduced by a cult? Let's say, you can just use imagination. And what if they're seduced by a cult and the cult persuades them that what they have learned about God is all false? So they abandon what they've heard about God and they go after a cult. Now, a cult, neighbor's not like a Baptist. A cult will go after others, help join that cult. So what if that one child goes after the other child, the other sibling, and works on that other sibling until they get that other sibling in that cult? Y'all listen to me now. So is Brother Jarvis happy? Huh? So let's call it religion of XYZ. So what if XYZ now is successful in getting his children involved in their cult? And what if some miracle of God, that religion XYZ is wiped out completely? So is Brother Jarvis going to say, oh God, what a loss of all them people? No. Brother Jarvis will be elated that God wiped out that mess that corrupted his 2 children. These people in heaven are elated that God's going to wipe out that great whore that's been so responsible for causing many souls to be damned. Amen. And by the way, when they saw that, they said, hallelujah, amen. Can I not right now, not by proxy, but by promise, can I not by promise say hallelujah, God is going to wipe out all religious systems that damn the souls of men to hell. Amen. I don't think I'm going to wait for them. I'm going to say hallelujah with neighbor because God is going to wipe out the RCs and the JWs. Amen. Going to wipe out all that mess that's damned souls to hell. Amen. Y'all still okay now? Well, that's been hard. Well, my goodness, they're doing it in heaven. So why is it so hard if I do it now? Well, does it mean if I rejoice now, that even the cause that caused my friends and my loved ones that go to hell? Am I wrong by going ahead and praising God? The day is coming when God's going to eliminate you. Amen. So y'all still with me now? Y'all sure you are? Some of y'all don't look like you are. Watch your Bible now. So no, go to verse number 4. Come on now, put y'all verse number 4. The Bible said, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, they fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his saints, and ye that fear him, both small and great. So what you got here now is the hallelujah of adoration. Is that right? Look what's in now. The 24 elders there and the 4 beasts that fell down and they're worshiping God. So you got to say here that what's going on in 4 and 5 in worship. Is that right? Come on now. Don't die with me. So now then, they were there worshiping God. Notice where they're worshiping. Put y'all in verse number 4 again. Notice now, they're worshiping around the throne. Is that right? So a throne has a king, right? A throne's got a king. So they're worshiping around the throne. There's a king on it. Amen? Because say today, if I worship him now, if you worship him now, you must worship him, him being on the throne. You cannot worship him away from the throne. You've got to be somehow connected, identified with the throne, or you cannot worship him. Amen? Yes, still it is imperative that you worship around the throne of God. Amen. Now watch verse 4 now. So number 1, the place of adoration is the throne. The people here is the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, which basically, I think, the 24 elders represent all the same. Now notice verse number 4. Watch it now. Notice the process of their worship, and remember they're in heaven, right? Right? So notice what it said. The Bible said these 24 elders and the 4 beasts, what they do? What? Hell now. They fell down. Is that not a picture of humiliation? Amen. So they're doing that in heaven, right? Now, can you see me worshiping God now in this walk of life, strutting up to God, saying, Hey, man, I really appreciate what you've done for me. Hallelujah. I don't think so. The Bible said God knows the proud afar off. Amen. And if I'm not willing to humble myself in humiliation, I'll never worship God. Amen. So they fell down and worshiped him. Is that right? Watch now. Watch it now. So the Bible said, and the Bible said they worship him. And so that word worship means, and I'm sure y'all know that, but it means an adoration, like your favorite dog that loves you, licking your hand or your feet. So that's the idea here, that neighbors, it's like they're down before the throne of God, and they're kissing the feet of the Lamb. Does that bother y'all? Does that bother y'all to have in your mind about kissing somebody's feet? Did that bother you, Amy? If you're not willing to bow down and put your lips on his feet, you ain't ready to worship. Amen. So they're bowed down and they're worshiping him. Are y'all with me now? Now look at your Bible now, verse number 4 again. So the Bible said they're worshiping God. They said, and here's what they said. Said, I thought worship was very quiet in your heart and nothing had to be said. The Bible said to the worshiping, and they're saying, Amen. And they're saying, Hallelujah. Is that right? They're right? So I gather now, they're not quiet about it. I gather now, they're not doing it the way our proper schools are teaching our students to do it. I'm telling you, son, you cannot tell a volcano to erupt silently. A volcano doesn't erupt quietly. When it erupts, it makes some noise. When it erupts, oh, brother, when that volcano erupts, it leaves some debris scattered around. Amen. And the lava comes out and flows down the mountain. Amen. And it, oh, good night, man. And whenever a volcano erupts, and blows up there, their ash goes everywhere. And that hot lava runs down the side of that mountain, and I'm telling you, it leaves effects. I've been here. Amen. God. It would be good to worship God in a way that never leaves an effect that we've been there. Amen. Praise God. Y'all okay now? Now look at your Bible. Look at your Bible now. I want you to see this precious thought right quickly now. So, what's the profit of this worshiping God? Verse number 5, y'all looking at it? So, they're involved in worship. They fell down. They're worshiping. They're saying, amen, hallelujah. Right? Right? Notice verse number 5. So, the Bible said, and a voice came out of the throne. So, who's on the throne? There's a voice, and it's coming out of the throne. Is that right? Who's on the throne? Somebody said Jesus. Somebody said God. Right? So, who's wrong? There's a throne there, and there's somebody on it. We know it's God, right? And we also know when the Christ went back to heaven, He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Is that right? So if I said Jesus, that's right. If I said God, that's right. They're on the throne. So I must conclude that the voice that's coming out of the throne is God's. Is that right? Notice now what this voice says. What did it say, Robert? Whoa, well, wait a minute. I thought that's what they were doing. I thought that's what they were already doing, was praising our God. I thought they were worshiping. I thought that's what they were doing. So they're saying amen, hallelujah. And when they get done saying hallelujah, there's a voice come down the throne. Why? Brother, you know why, don't you, Barry? That voice on the throne is saying, do it again. Yeah. It's saying, do it again. I like what you did. I like that praising my name. I like that worshiping me. I want you to do it again. Amen. Praise God. You can't worship God. That's somewhere God's heart said, do it again. Praise God, do it again. Amen. You can't bless His name. That's somehow God saying, do it again. Just do it again. Just praise me again. Just honor me again. Just exalt me again. Lift up my name again. Bless my name again. Amen to God. Praise God. Whoa. I mean, this is a crowd in glory. By the way, they ain't no hurry. They just got all eternity to do this. Amen. And God said, I like what you're doing. Praise me again. So let me ask you, are you one of these precious believers that you just can't get involved in all that? And you're just going to wait till then? Not me. Not me, buddy. I ain't going to wait till then. Amen. No, praise God. Let me do it now. Let me have a gut full now. Let me have a belly full right now. Let my soul be so laden right now. I can erupt like a volcano in the praises of Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done nearly. Look at verse number 6. Go to verse number 6. The last hallelujah rolls in. And so here's what the Bible said. And I heard as were a voice of great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. Why? What did y'all say that last hallelujah for? Come on now. What motivated y'all to say that last hallelujah? Oh, they said, I got a word for that. And the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Praise God. What? Look here. Now, when this first takes place, every enemy has been put down. There's not another enemy, brother, that's available. Praise God. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. There in verse number 6, when they say hallelujah, you can say this. They're praising Him because the war is over. What have you been fighting? What have you been struggling with? What have you been battling? Thank God there's an hour coming when the war will be over. Hallelujah. And they said, hallelujah, the Lord of God, omnipotent reigneth. Praise God. There's an hour coming when the Lord of God will reign and every enemy shall be put down. Hallelujah. And the war is over. Praise God, the war is over. Hallelujah. Oh. What's got you burdened down? What's gotten him? What's eating away at your victory? What's eating away at your joy? Said, it's too much to tell. Well, why don't you just kind of put it in parentheses and jump over it and say, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen. Why don't you just look out in the future, brother, when every enemy be put down? Why don't you go ahead and just praise Him now for what God's going to do? Amen. God, praise God. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's a ruler. Praise God. He reigneth. Amen. Praise God. War's over. Luke verse number 7. Come on now, Luke verse number 7. Luke verse number 7. So they're saying, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad, verse 7, and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. The war's over, but the waiting is over. I've been waiting. Amen. I'm already connected, but the wedding hasn't took place yet. Praise God. Amen. The war's over. Is that not enough to say hallelujah about? When the waiting's done, is that not enough to say hallelujah about? So we'll all wait then. Why? That little bride, that young man that's fixing to get married, and I mean she just fully in love with that guy, and so I mean if she's really in love with him, she's not marrying from his money, and you ain't got much of a chance of doing that nowadays, amen. She don't stay quiet about her expected marriage. She don't zip her lip. She ask her. You matter of fact, you won't have to ask her. She'll say, have you heard? She'll throw the hand out there and she'll say, and or maybe she don't say anything, but she'll say, oh, you got an engagement. How did you know? She wants you to know about it. Do you want others to know about your wedding plans? Hey, do you want anybody to know about your wedding plans? Praise God. I wouldn't wait then. No. That's like a kid playing soccer at first year in college. He ain't never played a game of soccer in his life. He's out there on the field trying to play soccer his freshman year in college. He can't get his feet in the right place. He don't know how to butt it. Do you know why? He ain't never practiced it. Some y'all gonna mess around, fill out a place. Why? They're too quiet. Too shy. Why I'd praise Him now? Why I'd magnify Him now? Why I'd say hallelujah right now? Why I'd bless His name now? Why ain't got a chance to bless His name and honor Him? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I ain't going to wait. Stanley, I ain't waiting. Praise God. I ain't going to wait, Joe. I'm going to do all I can between here and there. Amen, Brother Johnny. Praise God. Let her rip. Say, Brother Wells, what if people's watching you? So what? So what? Hallelujah. You know, somebody told me that in the early days, Sammy Allen, and he was in Gordon County, and I lived in the adjoining county, Whitfield County, when he was a young man. Somebody told me that Brother Sammy, I didn't see it, they said he'd be walking down the street. Said he'd stop anywhere he felt God was impressing him. He'd stop and get on his knees around the street, no matter who was walking by, and he'd light into praying. With me and you, we probably care too much about what others would say and who was watching. We ought not to care. He ought to be so important to us, we don't give a rip who sees. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.